Good day, everyone, and welcome to the Web Sphere Support Technical Exchange conference call. Now for opening remarks and introductions, I would like to turn the call over to Ms. Christy Snyder. Please go ahead, ma'am.
Thank you, Tamika, and welcome everyone to the Web Sphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is Web Sphere Commerce Member Management with LDAP Best Practices. At the end of today's session, the lines will open for a question and answer period. Today's presenters are Sammy Chow and Mark Barbara. Sammy Chow is an advisory software developer with the WebSphere Commerce Support Organization. As the WebSphere Commerce Support Team Lead, Sammy is responsible for providing all aspects of customer support to clients using WebSphere Commerce family of products. Mark Barbara is a SaaS software developer with the WebSphere Commerce Support Organization. As a member of the WebSphere Commerce Support Team, Mark is responsible for providing technical assistance to clients using the WebSphere Commerce family of products. He also has extensive experience supporting clients with commerce member management and LDAP integrations. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Mark. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Christy. So as Christy noted, we're going to talk about WebSphere Commerce member management with LDAP. So let's move on to slide 2. So here's our agenda. I'll start with a brief introduction to show at a high level what it means to use commerce in LDAP. Next, Sammy will talk about planning to show you what things to consider if you need to use commerce in LDAP, including some pitfalls that can happen if you do not plan your implementation correctly. After that, I will talk about the configuration steps to actually set this up on your server. And finally, Sammy will talk about some common issues that can happen and give you some guidance on how to troubleshoot them. So let's move on to slide 3. So before we talk about LDAP, I would like to focus on the commerce member subsystem. So this component of commerce manages your user data, so this includes things like logon IDs, addresses, etc., organizational information, including organizational structures and organizational assets, so an organization address, and also user authentication, so things like password validation. On to slide 4. To continue the thought, how does commerce handle this information out of the box? This data is stored in the database. So if you've used commerce before, you may be familiar with database tables like member rel, user reg, users, org entity, addresses, etc. These store the user and organizational information. Commerce also includes authentication mechanisms to store and validate user passwords. This information is stored encrypted in the Commerce database. On to slide 5. Here we have a basic picture of how your implementation might look.
There you go.
It's pretty basic right now, but as we add LDAP into the picture, it'll become a bit more interesting. Slide 6, please. So let's start talking about LDAP. So what is LDAP? Well, the acronym stands for Lightweight Directory Access Protocol, but a simple way to think about it is a standard user registry to store information. So in general, you would use it to store user information and attributes like names and phone numbers, and also include users into organizational structures. LDAP also provides authentication features. So, thinking back, well, this is pretty much the same stuff we talked about commerce storing in its database out of the box. Slide 7, please. So, if this was stored in the commerce database, why do you need LDAP? Well, what if you have many applications which share the same user base? Commerce will store its users in its database. Another application has its own structures. So do we need to create a new user every time? Probably not. LDAP allows us to store users to be shared between applications. So Commerce has the ability to use LDAP such that other applications can use the Commerce users, and Commerce can use users from other applications. When we talk about users here, we talk about their logon IDs and their other attributes, such as their organizational structures, and also their passwords. Slide 8, please. So Commerce and LDAP is supported in version 6, but it's also supported in previous versions. So in the past, so versions 5.6, 5.6.1 of Commerce, Commerce and LDAP is supported. So the way this works is that user and organizational data is stored in both the Commerce database and in LDAP. Password authentication only happens on the LDAP server. So we have Commerce Code, which manages the connection and data synchronization between the LDAP server. Moving on to slide 9, we have here a basic picture of how this looks if you're using version 5.6 or 5.6.1 of Commerce. Commerce connects both to LDAP and the database, and will synchronize the data between the two directly. So this is in the past. So what has changed in Commerce version 6? This brings us to slide 10. So the main difference here is that Commerce now uses Member Manager as an interface to LDAP. This means that Commerce will invoke a Member Manager API, and Member Manager can work about the specifics of the connection and data of the individual LDAP servers that are supported. Commerce can simply do what it does best, Commerce. So in version 6 of Commerce, Member Manager must be installed when integrating with LDAP. Let's talk a bit more about Member Manager. Slide 11, please. So here's a bit more information about Member Manager. As discussed earlier, it's an abstraction layer to the LDAP implementation, and Commerce will simply invoke the simple Member Manager API. Member Manager will then talk to your LDAP server as required. So Member Manager is its own application which will run on the application server. Moving on to slide 12, now we have a more detailed picture of how this works in version 6. Notice Commerce will connect to the database, Member Manager will connect to LDAP. Commerce will use Member Manager when it needs information from LDAP. Now that we have an overview of how this should work, we'll move on to the planning section to understand what considerations need to be made when you use LDAP with Commerce. I'll turn it over to Sammy, who will cover this section. So slide 13, please.
Great, thanks, Mark. So really the key to a successful LDAP and Commerce integration is planning. And all of that starts with figuring out if LDAP is even the right solution for you. So in order to do that, you'll want to ask yourself the following questions about your business. Number one, do you have another portion of your business that wants to leverage the Commerce user base? So for example, do you have plans in the future to set up a rewards point system, and you want the rewards point system to work with the online shoppers? If you do, you may want to consider sharing the user base via LDAP. Second example, do you have existing users that want to play a role in Commerce? For example, does your company have customer service reps that will play a role in your online store? If so, you may want to integrate your existing LDAP with Commerce. Third, do you want to set up single sign-on between multiple applications? For example, do you have a company portal that you may want to act as an interface into Commerce? If you do, single sign-on requires LDAP authentication between all the applications involved. Let's move on to slide 14, please. Once you've determined that LDAP is the right choice for you, the next step is determining what the options are. Specifically, what are the different types of LDAP integration you can do with Commerce? Well, really, it only boils down to two types. You can either integrate Commerce with a brand new LDAP to share Commerce users with other applications, or you integrate Commerce with an existing LDAP to reference users that have already been created. Slide 15, please. No matter which type of integration you decide on, there are really a bunch of common things that you should consider. In the next few slides, we'll dive into each of these products, these points. But here's an overview of the kinds of things that should be on our mind when we set up LDAP with Commerce. Number one, what will a commerce organization look like? What will the organization structure look like? How do you publish a store in an LDAP-enabled environment? How will the data be persisted? What software limitations should we be aware of? What things should we consider if we're using single sign-on? And what are the common pitfalls that happen if we don't think these points through ahead of time? Let's move on to slide 16. Here we have a diagram to help explain what needs to be considered when setting up the organization structure using a new LDAP. Here we have an example of an LDAP tree and a commerce tree, the LDAP on the left-hand side and the commerce on the right. The idea is to have commerce organizations and users mapped to corresponding organizations and user objects within LDAP. The first thing we need to do is to find a root organization mapping. As you can see on the right-hand side of the diagram, all commerce members, that includes users and organizations, will be a descendant of the root organization. This is where it all starts in commerce. So we really need to figure out where the root organization will be mapped to in LDAP. Since all commerce users and organizations are children of the root organization, once we've decided on where the root organization is, everything else should fall into place. A very important point here is to pick a root organization that makes sense for future growth. If you intend to have other organizations in your LDAP in the future, make sure you plan for this before deciding where to put the commerce root organization. Well, you might ask, why do we need to put so much thought into just the organization structure? I can tell you from experience that if you don't make a good decision here, it will be very expensive and difficult to make changes to this in the future. Let's move on to slide 17. So let's recap on a couple of points we just made. Number one, define the root organizations in your LDAP tree. The way to do this is to pick an organization in your LDAP structure and map it to the commerce root organization object. Next, you'll need to be careful in picking the root organization that makes sense for future growth, because modifying your org structure is not easy, and we don't have any tools to help with the process. Slide 18, please. Here we have a diagram to help explain what needs to be considered when setting up the organization structure using an existing LDAP. In this diagram, we have a slightly more complicated LDAP tree on the left-hand side, and essentially the same commerce tree as before on the right. The difference here, compared to the slide before, is where commerce maps to in the LDAP structure. So, what are some things we need to be cognizant about when setting up the environment like this? Much like setting up a new LDAP, we need to decide on where the root organization for commerce is within the LDAP server. So in our example, we've decided to map the root organization to an existing retail organization in LDAP. Note that commerce will only be able to look up users under the root organization, so make sure the users in LDAP are actually children of the root organization that you picked. In our example, we can see that the user Bob belongs to the shopper organization, which is under retail. This is the correct way of setting it up so that commerce can locate Bob during authentication. A special point to highlight here for B2C stores is that all registered shoppers will be stored inside the default organization. This may have implications to you based on where your shoppers currently exist in your LDAP server. For example, if your users are scattered throughout the LDAP tree, it may not be possible to map it to a commerce default organization as shown in the diagram here. The thing to keep in mind is that it's not always feasible to neatly map the commerce and LDAP organization structures. These cases usually require some type of customized solution tailor-made on a case-by-case basis, which we'll not cover in this presentation. But the main point really here is understanding commerce org structure in relation to your LDAP structure is essential to planning. Let's move on to step 19, or slide 19. Here's a recap of some of the points we just addressed when setting up a commerce with an existing LDAP. First, we must decide on what the root organization is within LDAP. Commerce will only be able to look up users under root organization, so make sure that users in your LDAP are in the right place. Another thing to watch out for is ensuring that the default organization is a direct descendant of the root organization. This is a requirement in the Commerce org structure. Slide 20, please. In a B2C store, In a B2C store, all registered shoppers are located in the default organization. So double check to make sure that your shoppers in LDAP are located in the right place. The key to success here is understanding the Commerce organization structure in relation to your LDAP structure and realizing that it may not be possible if your LDAP, is structured in a certain way. Let's move on to slide 21. So what are some things we need to consider when publishing a store? For people publishing a store into a new LDAP, you will need to update the star file with the name, with a new naming convention that you've decided on. Similarly, for people publishing a store into an existing LDAP, you'll need to update the star file as well, but this time to match the organization structure of your existing LDAP tree. When you get to this phase, you can find all the instructions on how to modify the star file in the Commerce Information Center. But keep in mind that once you've published a store, that it's difficult to go back and make changes to organization structure, so choose carefully. Slide 22, please. What kinds of things should you be considering about how the data is persisted? Here, we're talking about what data we want to synchronize between Commerce and LDAP. So for example, how do you synchronize user phone numbers between LDAP and Commerce? Well, once you've decided, you can configure this in the LDAP entry XML, which we'll discuss in the next section. Slide 23, please. What other kinds of things should you be considering when selecting LDAP? Well, you can also take a look at what the software limitations are. It's not likely a problem when you're setting up a brand new LDAP environment, but if you're integrating Commerce with an existing LDAP, make sure that the LDAP server you have is one of the supported ones that we've listed here. At the end of the presentation, we'll give you some additional links to check the exact versions that Commerce supports. Slide 24, please. If you're planning to use single sign-on, what should you be thinking about? In this scenario, we're using LDAP as a central repository between multiple applications. For example, a corporate portal that acts as a front end to your Commerce store. If you're planning to integrate Commerce with another application via single sign-on, you'll want to go back to the org structure and think about how the two will fit together. A specific point to note about single sign-on is that Commerce can be part of the single sign-on domain, but does not have the ability to generate LTPA tokens. So in other words, it only serves as a back end to a single sign-on environment. You'll also want to ensure that all single sign-on applications are sharing an LDAP server that is supported by Commerce. And a side note is that global security is required for configuring single sign-on. Let's move on to slide 25. So now we'll go on into talking about some of the most common pitfalls. Here's a typical pitfall for clients trying to integrate Commerce with a brand new LDAP. So in this example, the Commerce root organization points to the top of the LDAP tree. As we can see from the diagram, the root organization on the right points directly to the domain DC equals IBM, DC equals com. Well, how could this be a problem? Well, on its own, it's actually not a problem. The problem typically comes later down the road if you want to share LDAP with other applications. So going back to our example, we have a new application, so in this case an accounting application, that wants to be part of LDAP as well. Since the Commerce root organization is at the top of the LDAP tree, the new accounting application must now be part of the LDAP of the Commerce tree as well. This can cause a lot of headaches and require you to restructure the organization tree. Unfortunately, this is not a trivial task and requires many steps to accomplish. That's why it's so important to plan ahead. Slide 26, please. Here we have a typical pitfall for clients trying to integrate commerce with an existing LDAP. Looking at the right-hand side of the diagram, you can see that users in LDAP are higher in the tree than where the root organization should be. Since commerce can only look for users underneath the root organization, in this particular example, commerce will not actually be able to locate the users in LDAP. This is a very common problem, so we must think ahead and have a good understanding of how organization structure is on LDAP as well as commerce. Once you've considered all of these things with your planning, the next thing to do is actually set up the environment and implement the configuration. For that, let's move to slide 27, and I'll let Mark take you through what's necessary.
Thanks, Danny. So I guess the big question is, we've done all our planning, so how do I go through and install it? So here we have high-level steps on what you need to do to set up commerce with LDAP. This is all documented in the Commerce Information Center, and there's a link at the end of the presentation to this as well. The main steps include preparing the Member Manager application to work with commerce. So here you install and set up Member Manager. If you're using custom ICN, so in the previous example, Sammy had DC equals IBM, DC equals com, rather than the root organization, you will need to make changes to the database to accommodate this. Next, you will need to configure Member Manager to know where to look for your users in LDAP. Again, this will be specific to your customized DN and LDAP server. After this, you will configure Commerce to use LDAP. So you make Commerce aware that LDAP and Member Manager is set up. And now, you can also define which data can be synchronized between Commerce and LDAP. And once that's done, you should go through and test your application to make sure everything's working correctly and as you think it should be. So, moving on to slide 28, I have here some instructions for the development environment. Again, it's very similar to the ones we talked about earlier, but they are slightly different as there are differences when configuring it for Commerce Developer. The point here is that you can do it with Commerce Developer, and the instructions are slightly different, so when you're looking up the instructions in the Info Center, make sure to find the developer instructions when you're installing it for Commerce Developer. Let's move on to slide 29. So there are two main configuration files that we need to modify when setting up Commerce with LDAP. There's a WMM.xml. This is the member manager configuration to LDAP. And the LDAPEntry.xml, which is the Commerce configuration to member manager. So one thing to note is that in Commerce 5.6 and 5.6.1, there was no member manager, so all the configurations happen in the LDAPEntry.xml file. Let's move on to slide 30. So here we have the WMM.xml file, which is the member manager configuration file. In here you'll find mappings between member manager and LDAP. So this will include objects and types that you'll find in LDAP and map them to member manager, as well as the definitions of LDAP structures so that member manager can locate and recognize data on your LDAP server. The settings here will depend on which LDAP server you're using. The following slides will have some configurations that are relevant. The documentation in the Info Center explains what needs to be changed, but I want to simply point out some of the key configurations to just try and give you a bit of an idea of why you need to make some of the configuration changes that you'll see. I'm going to go over some of these quickly, so if you're not familiar with some of the settings, don't worry about it. Once you try setting this up for yourself, you can always come back to this presentation for future reference. So let's move on to slide 31. So here we are defining our supported types, so people, orgs. We don't use a group type in commerce. In this example, an interesting configuration item is the RDN ATTR type, which is the prefix for your type. So an organization will have a type of O, An organization unit will have OU, and people or users will have a UID, as in the example above. If you're using Microsoft Active Directory, you would actually have to change this because Active Directory uses a CN as the type for people. On to slide 32. I have a couple more settings that I wanted to discuss. The first one is this LDAP repository flag. So here, the main thing to notice is that there's a configuration file, which is LDAP server specific. So member manager ships with default XML files, and what you need to do is make sure you use the right one to map your objects correctly depending on your LDAP server. So in this example, we're using IBM Directory Server, and the file here that we're using for the configuration file is wmmldapattributes_ids.xml. The next configuration setting that I had here is NodeMap. So NodeMap is the definition of your organizations that Member Manager has access to in your LDAP server. So here we'll define what you're going to call the root organization in Member Manager and where this org is defined in your LDAP structure. So they must be the same, and this must be the root organization that you use in Commerce. On to slide 33. We have one more configuration item. And the last one I want to show you is the supported LDAP entry type. So the main thing here that I really wanted to highlight is the search base. So setting the search base, what you're doing is you're telling Member Manager where to begin searching when doing a lookup against your LDAP server. So this must be your LDAP, or must be your root organization. So let's move on to slide 34. So now what I want to do is talk about the LDAP entry.xml. So if we remember, WMM.xml was the configuration between Member Manager and LDAP. LDAP entry is the configuration between Commerce and Member Manager. So here we define what data is synchronized between Commerce and Member Manager. As I stated earlier, in version 5.6 of Commerce, you will not use Member Manager. So some of the configuration that was done in the WMMM.xml is covered in the LDAP entry.xml. So this will include things like the search base. Slide 35. As we did with WMM.xml, on slide 35, we have an example of the LDAP entry.xml file. Here, what I want to do is show one item, which is what we use to synchronize data between Commerce and LDAP. So in Commerce, we have an attribute, which is last name. This is the object attribute in the XML. In LDAP, the last name is stored in an attribute called FN. So this is the LDAP attribute in the XML. And then next, what you can define is the operation that happens during synchronization. So in this case, replace, which means we're going to update the entries if a change happens. And finally, we have flow, which defines the data and how we're going to synchronize the data. So in this case, the flow is both directions, which means it will synchronize in both ways if it changes on one versus the other. Now, what I want to do is talk about, now that we've talked about what it takes to set it up, let's move on to slide 36. And Sammy's going to talk about how to troubleshoot it if you run into a problem.
Great. Thanks, Mark. So a lot of this is based on experience working with clients in the past. What we've done here is we've broken down the Commerce LDAP implementation into four basic categories of problems. The first one is setup problems. So this is just getting the environment up and running. Next, we have authentication problems. These are issues logging into Commerce using your LDAP users. Then authorization problems, which are similar to authentication problems, but deal with the ability to log into Commerce and perform specific tasks. Lastly, we have data synchronization issues. This category of problem deals with data that is stored between Commerce and LDAP and how it's synchronized. Let's move on to slide 37, please. So here we're going to start by talking about setup problems. A setup problem typically deals with the initial configuration of Commerce and LDAP. Really, it's can we get the machines up and running in the first place? So for example, commerce, once you've set it up with LDAP, you might end up having communication problems with the two machines. In these cases, we're typically dealing with actual communication exceptions in the logs or behavior that indicates the two components are not talking to each other. Slide 38. So how do we begin troubleshooting a setup problem? First, you check all your settings. We can start by checking to ensure that LDAP and commerce work on its own, and also check that all your settings, as documented in the installation guide, has been covered. We can also verify that the host name and ports are set up correctly so that the two can communicate. To help you narrow down the problem, you can always enable commerce tracing as well as member manager tracing. Specifically in commerce, we're talking about server and user traces, and I've listed there the trace specification that you'll need when turning on member manager traces. The key here is to examine all aspects of the environment. Since we're integrating LDAP, a lot of times we have a tendency to jump directly into the member manager settings. We need to take a step back and try to understand where the problem really is. Let's move on to slide 39. Another category of problems relate to authentication issues. So authentication problems typically deal with users not being able to log in. For example, the commerce admin user, WCS admin, gets an error message that says the user does not exist when he tries to log into the commerce accelerator. Let's move on to slide 40. So how do you begin troubleshooting an authentication problem? Well, typically, the problem is related to the mapping of the user between commerce and LDAP. For example, commerce is not able to locate the user in the LDAP space, based on the organization that it should belong to. As we mentioned earlier, the mapping is handled inside the WMM.xml. So the first thing we should do is verify that the search basis setting inside the WMM.xml is correctly located in the right place to ensure that users you're searching for can actually be found. The next thing to do is verify that the migrate users from WCSDB flag is enabled on your instance XML file. This flag controls where commerce will look during authentication. So when commerce is integrated with LDAP, during logon, it will always look in LDAP first for the specified user. If this user cannot be found, enabling this flag tells commerce to then look in the commerce database. On the other hand, if the user cannot be found and the flag is not enabled, even if the user does exist in the commerce database, we won't look there. So that's why you end up with a user not found exception. This flag is required if you have a set of users in the commerce database that are not yet in the LDAP server. Finally, you can always enable the Webster Commerce and Member Manager traces for more details. In this specific scenario, the traces will be useful in telling you what the user ID is of the user that you're trying to log in as, so you can then compare with what's actually in the LDAP server and the commerce database. Let's move on to slide 41. Another typical type of problem is related to authorization. Authorization problems typically deal with access control issues after the user logs in. For example, let's say your company has an administrator named Joe who tries to log into the Commerce Accelerator for the first time after integrating with LDAP. At this point, Joe gets an error that says, "User does not have authority." So let's take a look at how we can troubleshoot a problem like this. For that, we'll need to move on to slide 42. This type of problem typically means that commerce found a specified user, but something else must have gone wrong. So going back to our example, it's possible that commerce might have found the wrong Joe. Well, how does this happen, you ask? In commerce LDAP integration scenarios, it's very typical for users to exist in commerce but not LDAP, and vice versa. This really depends on whether we're integrating with a new LDAP or an existing LDAP. So as mentioned earlier, commerce always searches in the LDAP first to see if we can locate the user. So even if Joe, who is registered in the commerce database, commerce will first try to look for him in LDAP first. Now, let's say the search base is not set up properly. Commerce might end up looking in the wrong structure and then as a result pick the wrong Joe. For large companies, if we search based on short name, it's possible that we might end up finding, let's say, Joe from accounting instead of Joe from the IT department. So when commerce then compares Joe, the one that we found in LDAP, with the Joe that is registered in the commerce database as your site admin, it realizes that these are two different people. Commerce then makes an assumption that says Joe must be a new user. Perhaps Joe from accounting just wants to do some Christmas shopping. And at this point, we add him to the commerce database as a newly registered shopper. Now, obviously, the new Joe, being a registered shopper, does not have the administrative privileges to access the commerce accelerator. And so we get the user does not have authority error that you saw. As you can see, this basically turned into a standard access control issue. You've got a user that doesn't play a role that it needs. Let's move on to slide 43. So how do we debug this? The first thing we do in debugging these type of issues is to determine if commerce is using the right user. And the way to do that is to check the user registry table to ensure that the user specified has the correct DN. In other words, is the user correctly mapped, correctly registered in commerce? Once you've confirmed this, you'll want to check if the user has the appropriate roles defined. And the easiest way to do that is, again, to enable the commerce traces, specifically user and access control traces, and verify that the user has the necessary privileges to execute this particular action. Let's move on to slide 44. Another set of problems fall under the category of data synchronization. So here, we're dealing with problems synchronizing data between LDAP server and the commerce database. For example, let's say my phone number in commerce shows up differently than my phone number in LDAP. Slide 45, please. What are some things we can take a look at if this happens? Well, first of all synchronization settings are defined in the LDAP entry XML. So, the first thing we'll want to do is verify that these settings are correct. For our example, you'll want to confirm that a mapping exists between the phone number field in LDAP and the phone number field in commerce. Again, if you need more info, you can always take advantage of the commerce and member manager traces to help you narrow down the problem. So, now that we've looked at the various different types of problems and how to troubleshoot it, let's move on to some of the additional resources that can help you. Slide 46, please. Here are some links to help you find more information about setting up commerce with LDAP. The links included here are those we mentioned early in the presentation, including the supported LDAP servers, how to update your store using custom DN values, and a link to the top-level steps to set up LDAP with commerce. From there, you can then drill down to the specific instructions and all the related links. Slide 47, please. This chart includes links to a number of sites that provide valuable online resources for WebSphere products. The first link will take you to DeveloperWorks, which offers in-depth technical information. Next, the event link on support pages points you to webcasts and conference information. You can also visit WebSphere.org for user group information and product information. The following link takes you to the IBM Education Assistant, which consists of self-help modules to get new users up the learning curve quickly. Next, the ESR tool is for Password Advantage clients to open, update, and view PMRs online. And finally, the My Support link on all product support pages takes you to sign up for weekly email updates for products of interest to you. Slide 48, please. Now I'll turn it back over to Christy.
Thank you, Sammy and Mark, for a great presentation. And at this point, Tamika, we would like to open the lines for questions. I will now turn the call over to Sammy and Mark.
We'll take a question from Derek Norwich.
Hey, hello. Thank you for the presentation. I have a question about really how chatty the interface between member manager and commerce is. Really is a question aimed at how applicable an LDAP system would be for a high-traffic B2C site. I'd just like to get some idea on whether there's a lot of traffic going back and forth, like during a shopping session, or whether it's really just during registration, like log-on registration of users.
So I believe the question was about the amount of traffic, or I guess how often commerce will communicate with the LDAP server, or member manager communicating back and forth between the LDAP server. Is that correct, Derek?
That's correct.
I guess the main point would be that you would have synchronization during logon, as well when you access user information. So if you're looking at addresses and so on, there will be calls out to validate and synchronize the information across the LDAP server. So anytime you're...
For generic users or...
This will happen for registered users. For generic users, they do not have logon IDs, so they do not get pushed into the LDAP server.
And the same for guests?
Right, so, and guests as well.
We'll take our next question from Zenon Wang.
Yes, my question is, if we found some data in the LDAP and the commerce database out of the synchronization, do we need to run a tool to fix the problem, or the member manager will fix the problem automatically?
So let me just make sure I understand the question. So if you have a scenario where you have data that exists in commerce but not in LDAP, is there a tool to run?
Yeah, like the sample you gave us, like the phone number. And
right.
The phone number in the LDAP is different with the phone number in the database.
Right.
So this is already happened, and after we fix some problem in the configuration file, and do we need to run a tool to fix the data which is already in the LDAP and database, or the member manager will be fixed by itself?
Okay. So no, there are no tools to automatically and systematically go through every single record in the commerce database, and then dip to find out if there's anything different. So there's no tool from that regards. But what will happen is if you just log on with that particular user, the synchronization code will kick in, and all of that will take care of itself if you set up the LDAP entry properly for synchronization.
We do have a follow-up from Derek Norwich.
So I have a question on for the roles that are automatically assigned to users. If you had an external LDAP users coming in from, say, Yahoo, and you wanted them to automatically have access to certain stores and maybe other users that were set up in commerce and registered through commerce would get different stores, but ones from Yahoo would only have certain stores, but they have to be part of the default organization along with those other users. How would you set that up so that a certain subset of users have specific roles with certain stores?
So this is set up the same way it would be set up for regular registration, in that there's the member registration attributes.xml file. And in that XML file, you define the roles that users will get when they register against different stores. So I think in the default case, you would get a registered shopper role in the organization for the store that you are registering to.
Okay, but if the registration of users for that Yahoo subset was happening externally and not through commerce, would be there any way to automatically register them for certain roles?
So when you say the registration happens externally, you mean they are added to the LDAP server externally?
Yes, correct.
And then, so what will happen is on their first log on to commerce, Commerce will, I guess, kind of treat it like a registration to Commerce for the store that they're logging into, or they're trying to, but the store they're trying to log into, and it will give them a role based on that.
And there appear to be no further questions at this time. I will turn the conference back over to the speakers for any additional or closing remarks.
Thank you. And at this time, we will conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation as well. We hope you will join us for future presentations. Thank you very much for joining us today, and thank you, Sammy and Mark, for presenting.
And that does conclude today's conference. We thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.